he was always, in all of his paintings, always bucking dominant notions and dominant perspectives within the Black community and those that were outside the Black community. And Woody is a perfect example of that. He was a stylist on the canvas. In the photographs that Berkeley took, and he took many of them, you see him sort of doing these different poses, some dynamic, some a portrait of Woody's face, some of him caught in these solemn moments. He makes the entire leotard that Woody's wearing yellow, which is not the case in the photographs. He removes the background. The background in the photographs are this sort of wooded area. And in the final painting, it's yellow on yellow. And it sort of not only makes it a more dynamic and warm painting, but it also gets at some of the other art historical questions that Berkeley was negotiating in his practice in that period, this movement towards minimalism, abstraction, colored-filled painting, and pop. Then obviously the history of portraiture. This image is able to do all those things, but then it also is able to think about this particular Black male figure beyond some of the ways in which Black men then and now, and throughout history in a lot of ways, has been stereotyped. You have this Black male figure rendered as a ballet dancer. And those contrasts between what was sort of happening in mass media, I'm sure Berkeley was sort of paying attention to that, and what he knew a Black interiority to be. That's also one of the powers of this painting, because it has a deep sense of interiority and balance. And so he's balancing on one leg and also spreading his limbs. And so there's a great freedom, but balance. All of these really interesting layers from the art historical perspective, but also in terms of sort of the socio-political perspective, in terms of what representation of Black men did Berkeley want to put out in the world. I first met Berkeley Hendricks, it had to be at Jack Shaman Gallery. He always had his camera. He was almost always with Susan, his wife. I never spoke to him because I was always sort of in awe and just didn't. I was like, one day I'll interview him. And that came when he had what would become his final exhibition at Jack Shaman Gallery. That was sort of a radically different body of work than we had known. And he was, after taking what became a 20-year hiatus, he was back interested in creating portraits. And we were all really excited because in some ways the moment had caught up to Berkeley. It felt perfect in the sense that the art world had finally caught up to his experimentations in portraiture. I just remember being on a call with him, and I started to ask him questions, and I was struck by how unsubtle those paintings were. They had really touched on some real racial chords in American society, and then what was happening there in sort of a post-Donald Trump election period, and the rise of Fox News and this question around the Confederacy and the monuments. We're having all these conversations in the nation, and Berkeley's just painting that into the work. So you had a Black male with a Fox News sweatshirt on, grabbing his crotch in a humorous Berkeley Hendricks sort of way, but you couldn't divorce some of the more political overtones. And so I asked him about that, and he was not having it. And looking back, he was still someone that did not want it to be defined. And the more you pushed, and I did as a journalist at the time, he was like, what about the flatness of the background? And what about the way that I'm using abstraction and minimalism? What about, you know, he was a lot more interested in the unobvious aspects of those works and frankly became a little annoyed with me in my sort of trying to pin him down, which in hindsight is about an artist not willing to be defined by anyone but himself. I mean, that was the last time I spoke to him. And it left a real impression because I so admired what he had done in the dark. Like, no one cared in a lot of ways. And he just kept going. I was so moved by the fact that he didn't let that stop him and that he was vindicated in the way that the art world had moved into the consideration of Black portraiture. The connection for me really was growing up in Chicago, and I would see these very figures that he rendered and painted and gave stature and gave power and gave back their humanity and desire and choices around style and choices around how they moved through the world. And there was a special kind of freedom that came with people that were otherwise ridden off by more dominant mainstream institutions and societal structures. I remember growing up around people like that and knowing that they had achieved a sense of freedom and a sense of living life on their own terms, though imperfect it may be. That, for me, is the thing that really drew me and draws me into our Barclay Hendricks portrait.